Just 13 months ago, England was gripped by netball fever as Tracy Neville's side produced two dramatic, sensational and game-changing performances to win a stunning Commonwealth Games title. It was a moment that, despite being played out in the early hours of the morning, gripped an entire nation and tuned us into a sport that previously few had been aware of. And our newfound addiction for netball looks set to flourish this summer as the World Cup comes to Liverpool between the 12th to 21st of July, with England hoping to repeat their performances from the Gold Coast to win a maiden world title in front of thousands upon thousands of adoring home fans. It's not just the Vitality Roses, though, who will be taking to the court at the Echo Arena. There will also be a British representation in the form of Scotland and Northern Ireland, both of whom will be looking to take inspiration from England's efforts in Australia just over a year ago and push the world's best all the way. With just 50 days to go until that tournament, we spoke to Northern Ireland's Niamh Cooper, welcome back previous guest and England's most capped player in Jay Clark, as well as Scottish Thistle's Emily Nicol, to get their thoughts on what is set to be a groundbreaking summer for the sport. Hello listeners and welcome back to this Netball World Cup Sports Spiel special, and we're kicking off our tour of the home nations by speaking to Northern Ireland's very own Niamh Cooper. So first of all, Niamh, welcome to the show and thank you very much for speaking to us.
No problem.
So this programme is going to air with just 50 days to go until the World Cup. We're speaking a little bit before then, but how are you and the rest of the squad feeling right now in preparation for that tournament?
The squad are really excited at the minute. You know, with only 50 days to go, it seems to have sort of crept up on us a good bit. But yeah, the mood in camp's really, really positive at the minute. A couple of the girls have just finished up or are finishing up their Super League campaigns with their clubs over in England, and the girls back at home as well just finished up their club season. So all focuses are sort of turning to national now, and yeah, it's really, really exciting time.
And it's been a long time coming, because you qualified back in January 2018 alongside Scotland in the European qualifications. I guess, talk us through how you felt after finding out that you're going to be appearing at the World Cup this year.
Oh my goodness, it was brilliant. You know, we missed out on the Sydney World Cup on a very narrow margin to Scotland and Wales in the qualifiers then. So it's always been a goal of mine personally to get to a World Cup. So for us to have qualified this time was a massive achievement for the girls. So everyone was delighted, albeit it was nearly, you know, it was a long time ago now that it feels like ages ago that happened. But at the time, it was brilliant. And I think we secured the qualification on the first day, beating Wales quite well. So yeah, everyone's been sort of confident, and it's been good off the back of that. A lot of our funding and sponsorship and different things all rests on us qualifying for these tournaments. So yeah, it really led into a brilliant work lead up to the Commonwealth Games, and then obviously into this year too. So yeah, it's been brilliant.
And you mentioned not being able to make the 2015 tournament. I guess that must have been a massive driving factor for so many players in the squad.
Yeah, like that was, you know, a serious knock for the squad at the time, and that was leading up into the Commonwealths in Glasgow 2014. It was a few months before we went into that, so it was a big knock at the time for the girls, and you know, we were very disappointed. I think we were fairly confident about qualifying for that tournament. So I think it took a lot for us to pick ourselves up off the ground and actually go into the Commonwealths then, which we then actually did fairly well in, and beat Scotland and Wales at that tournament. So it was disappointing to miss out on that World Cup, and it's something that we always think is unfortunate that the top teams can't always go. You know, it's a shame that not to see Wales at the World Cup this year, you know. But yeah, you know, I think it was a big hit to reality, and when it came to the World Cup qualifiers then this time round, it was like, we're not doing that again, we're making sure we qualify. So yep, we're there, and we're delighted to be so.
And I guess it probably made your life a little bit easier coming up against Scotland and Wales, teams you know very well, and you knew how to overcome them, I guess.
Yes and no. Obviously, we watch them play all the time, and that's not just international. Obviously, those two teams have, you know, in Sirens and in the Celtic Dragons, we have a lot of things that we can watch, but then they can see us too. You know, they've played us a million times at Europeans and all the way even through junior levels and stuff. It's the same players you're playing against all the time, so they know us as well as we know them. So it's an advantage to an extent, but sometimes it does make it more difficult, and those Celtic rivalries can be fairly tough. But we love playing them. You know, it's always a good matchup.
And you mentioned their Europeans. A couple of months before, the squad had achieved a silver medal at the 27 Europeans. And I guess, how much of a confidence boost was that for you going into those World Cup qualifiers?
Oh, it was brilliant. We haven't had a silver at the Europeans for a number of years before that. And it was our target. I mean, you always aim for gold, but our real target was to get silver at that tournament, and to actually come away with it. And it was a very exciting match in the end. We only won by a goal in like the dying seconds, and a couple of players had been sent off and things. So it was a very, very exciting match. And to come away with the win, despite all of that, was such a confidence builder going into the World Cup. I think there were maybe only 2 months or something after that until the qualifier. So it really highlighted a lot of things we had to work on in training in the lead up into it, and gave us a real platform to sort of go off. So yeah, it was definitely worked in our favour.
And I guess these are just examples of the really rapid rise of the Northern Ireland team up to a world ranking of 8, which I believe is your highest. I guess, has there been any one factor, or is it just a culmination of things and players coming together, and that's really aided your ascent?
I don't think there's necessarily been one factor. I think we've probably had, as you say, a lot of factors that have come together at the right time. We have a fantastic mix of experienced players and junior players at the minute. So we've got those girls that are just coming off the back of the under-21 World Championships last year, and there's lots of talent coming through, and they're really pushing the senior players that maybe have become a bit relaxed as we've got a bit older. You know, so competition for places on the squad and that have become stronger, which really pushes us, you know, to bring out the best in yourself, I suppose. And then we've been working on a new S&C programme and stuff with Owen McNichol. We have a new coach in on that, and that's really driven us, you know, from a strength and conditioning point of view, which really has shown on court over the last number of years. So I suppose all of those things have sort of come together, and then we've a few players as well playing, as I said, in the Super League over in England, and they're bringing back things all the time, you know, like, oh, we do this and we do that, you know, those wee small bits add into our training and our team game, you know.
And you speak there about players coming over to here and playing. You've also got a new coaching structure in place, including Dean Ryan, who's come over from Australia, having spent 2 years with the Adelaide Thunderbirds. How's he settled in with the team?
Oh, Dan's brilliant. Yeah, his sessions are fantastic. He's running camp style sessions now, which is a bit different to things we did in the past. So in the past, because Northern Ireland is so small and we all, you know, live within about an hour's distance of each other, we would have had multiple sessions a week, you know, shorter, snappier sort of sessions, whereas now we're running sort of camp style, you know, longer sessions, which is allowing for a lot more like of the group to come together, especially the girls that are overseas. And yeah, he's brought in a real positive new look to the squad. Elaine Rice retired from the coaching role last year. She has been fantastic for Northern Ireland over the years, and really a lot, we owe a lot to her for getting us up the rankings. But Dan has just brought in a new perspective, new ideas, and yeah, he's a real positive guy, and I think he gets on with us pretty well. So, yeah.
That sounds great.
So far.
Sounds great. And you mentioned there a difference in terms of the training sessions themselves, in terms of the camps rather than the shorter, more frequent sessions. Has he brought around a big change in the style that you play as well, or is he adapting the way you were already playing?
I think he's just mildly adapting. I suppose it's minor changes to how we already play. You know, it's the way we play. He's not going to, you know, make a massive change. You know, we're not going to come out and play like a completely different country. I think it would be difficult for him to try and do that, especially in the short space of time that he has had to work with us. You know, he's only been on board with us since the sort of September, October time last year. But no, he's introduced some minor changes, but that are really making a big impact. So I think that's more important than changing the whole style altogether, because the style's working for us. It's just about sort of manipulating it to make it slightly more effective, I suppose.
Of course, and it's not just the coaching structure that's changed. Something you mentioned previously as well with sponsorships, and you had three big partners coming on board earlier this year, including PwC. How excited were you in the squad when you heard about these brand new deals?
Oh, it was like fantastic. It was a Christmas all came at once nearly, having these sponsorship deals. We've spent years and years fundraising, you know, backpacks, camps, all sorts of stuff to try and raise money to go to different tournaments and even just to fund our training sessions and our coaches. So to get big sponsorship on board not only eases that pressure off the players and allows us to focus a bit more on the actual training aspect, but also shows how much netball in Northern Ireland really has taken off, because it shows that people believe in us and are backing us and are thinking, like, you know, these girls actually are about something, are trying for something. So it gives us a lot of confidence in the squad, and it also then highlights us, you know, in the media and things, and people are sort of beginning to ask, you know, even if I was, you know, about the place, people are saying, you know, oh, what about the netball? Like, these are doing really well. So it gives everyone a bit of confidence, a bit of a lift, and something to aim for, I suppose.
And you mentioned that, how much has the sport changed in Northern Ireland over the last few years? Is it something that's gone from maybe not too many people playing to now loads and loads of girls getting involved in?
Oh, like, it definitely has improved. Now, I don't know the numbers with regards to how many are playing, but a good example would be that we did start running some camps for primary schools over the past sort of 6 months or so, and we sort of thought that maybe a few schools would get back to us and say they'd like us to come in, and we had, like, we were inundated with requests to go in and do camps in schools. So I think that's all come from off the back of us doing so well and from it being in the media. You know, so even from us doing so well at the Commonwealth Games, Caroline being the flag bearer, all of that has become, you know, it's been so well highlighted that I suppose people are interested now and are thinking maybe my child could do that. So it definitely has improved participation levels and as a result then performance, you know, so hopefully it continues that way.
I guess, and obviously it could well continue this summer with the World Cup. And how important has the role of companies like Sky and other TV broadcasters and actually showing games live? How vital is that for growing the sport?
It is huge. I think it's probably one of the biggest factors in growing the sport. And it's even, you know, even when you look at the likes of England Roses having done so well and not having been on the BBC and been on Sky, you know, so many people know about it and so many people know about them, you know, doing well at, you know, winning awards and different things. And then it's the same for us, you know, loads of people say, oh, I've seen Caroline on Sky, I've seen such and such playing, you know, and it really makes people go, oh, hold on, actually this sport is about something. It's not just that game that we played in school whenever, you know, we were 10, which is what a lot of people would have thought years ago when you would have said, oh, I play netball, they'd go, why, you know, whenever you were back in school, you know, that game that we played. Whereas I think they can sort of realise that there is an elite aspect to it, and, you know, it's a tough game, and the speed of it, I think everyone's always sort of taken aback by how elite it has become. So yeah, hopefully we'll get a few more games on Sky, Super League-wise, next year, but as far as I'm aware, BBC are covering them all for the World Cup, so, I mean, I'm delighted about that. People at home are delighted about that, so long may it continue.
And one of the events that was previously covered on BBC was last year's Commonwealth Games. You achieved an eighth place finish. Was that what you were expecting going into the tournament?
Yeah, so we were ranked eighth at the time, so I think we pushed Malawi really to the wire when it came to the 70th playoff. We came seventh in the Glasgow Commonwealth Games, and that super exceeded our expectations, I think, at that time. And we were 12th in the world, and, you know, to come seventh was a fantastic achievement. So I think in our heads we kind of hoped for seventh again or above. But as I say, like, the worldwide netball, like, level has just taken off. And I think we lost to Malawi by, I think it was 11 goals in the 70th playoff. So we were unfortunate to miss out on seventh again, but to come eighth, you know, was within our ranking. So, you know, we were delighted. And if you had told us before the tournament you're going to come eighth, I think we would have taken it, you know. So, I know we did well, but we've set our sights, you know, we're not settling for that. We're hoping to push on
and
the World Cup.
Sorry, and you mentioned that game against Malawi. They're obviously ranked higher than you and have a number of impressive scalps under their belt. So to have pushed them so close in that classification game must have been a massive encouragement booster for you and the squad.
Yeah, it was. And to compare the two Commonwealth games we played, Malawi and the Glasgow 2014 games as well, I can't remember what the scoreline was, but it certainly wasn't within 11. So it just shows how far the squad's come on within 4 years. And it's nearly like a belief thing. It's like, no, actually, maybe we can push these teams. Whereas in the past, I think we would have thought, oh, Malawi, sure, look at them. They're fifth, sixth in the world. You know, we're never going to be anywhere near them. We go, hold on, actually, maybe we can. So yeah, it's something that we'll definitely be setting our sights on come July. You know, we won't be, you know, looking just to bend over, you know.
And obviously
the netball in particular at that Commonwealth Games was notable for what England managed to do, overcoming the odds twice in the semi-finals and finals to win. But is their performance beating teams ranked at the time higher than them something you're going to try and take inspiration from come this summer's tournament?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, the world of netball has just been flipped on its head a wee bit in the last couple of years, and it's all stemmed from teams going, you know, we can beat these teams, and maybe it won't always just be Australia and New Zealand in the top, you know, and because even Wales did fantastic against New Zealand in the Commonwealth. I think they really pushed them to the wire, and Malawi beat New Zealand, you know, so everything's sort of been flipped. So I don't think on a day any team can take another team. It just, you know, is a matter of, I suppose, executing the game plan that's appropriate and really going for it and not giving up. So that's what we'll certainly be aiming to do. And yeah, we're hoping to maybe, you know, upset a few expected wins.
And you could cause a massive upset in your first game, which is against the reigning world champions, Australia. When you saw you were drawn against them, how did you feel?
Well, we said to Dan, you good to still coach us? No, we had Australia in the opening game of the Commonwealth as well, and we didn't really go out as well as we had hoped we would against them. You know, they beat us fairly significantly, and it was in their home crowd and all the rest. So I think, you know, we have to be realistic and set our sights, but at the same time, we need to go, you know, these players are human as well. They get the ball as much as we do. Let's go out there and see what we can do, and I think we'll certainly be aiming to improve that scoreline this time around. You know, we're a year on, we're a year better, see what happens. And, you know, the best team in the world will have their bad days too, so maybe we'll catch them on one.
And one thing that Northern Ireland really has in its favour is some incredibly loyal supporters. This has been recognised the last couple of years by being named the 27th Belfast Telegraph Sports Awards Team of the Year, and then voted the third best moment of 2018. I guess you must be so proud to have such great support, and that will really push you on for the tournament.
Yeah, we were really taken aback by that award at Belfast Telegraph. But, you know, we were absolutely delighted to get that, and then the third best moment as well was brilliant. You know, such a boost for the team to sort of, sometimes you forget that so many people are watching you and following you on social media and supporting you, and it just takes, it's nice to sort of take a step back sometimes and go, oh wow, like all these people really are looking up to you. And I suppose when you think about all the young girls and stuff even that are looking up to us, you know, it's nice to think that maybe we're on inspiring the next generation to come through and do even better things than we are. So yeah, it's always nice to sort of see those things. So yeah, I mean, our supporters are so good to us, especially when it does come to fundraising and different things, so we probably couldn't do much without them.
And for you personally, preparing to play in a World Cup not too far from home as one of the game's leading athletes, did you, when you were growing up yourself, ever think this would be a reality?
Oh, definitely not. You know, I remember, I think I was maybe in school whenever I was first put up for the underage national teams, and thinking like I'll never make the under-17s, let alone a senior team. Those girls just seemed like such superstars at the time, and in fairness, I'm still playing with a lot of them. they're still around, but the likes of Noni Lennon and Caroline O'Hanlon and Gemma Gibney and that, you know, they've been around a long time. They know what they're doing, and they've always been players that I've looked up to. So playing with them now, I think, is always still sort of an honour to an extent, because they were, you know, such role models from when I was younger. So I suppose, looking at myself now, so I always feel like I'm still young, but I have to keep reminding myself that I'm not anymore, that I have to, you know, maybe, hopefully I'm inspiring younger girls that were me back then to do the same thing, and maybe they'll be playing alongside me in a few years.
Hopefully so. And it's not just netball that you excel at, but you're also, I believe, a qualified doctor as well. So how do you manage to balance that alongside the netball?
Well, it's not too bad. You know, all the girls in the squad a lot of them are either professionals or are students. You know, so we have a lot of teachers with a few doctors on the squad, and lots of different people working, and with a lot of ones who are full-time students. So a lot of our training sessions are in the evenings, you know, so from like 7-9, that kind of thing. And then we do quite a bit of training on our own, so I can sort of work around my shift. So I'm very lucky in that my work are very supportive of my sporting endeavours and give me the time off. And I think a lot of the other girls have the same sort of experience with their work. I suppose that all stems from the different media and stuff that we've heard. But no, I mean, it's grand. Everyone has 24 hours in a day, just depends how you use it, I suppose.
That is a very, very wise message indeed. And I guess slightly cheekily, but do any of your current teammates ever ask you potentially for a diagnosis if they're slightly feeling under the weather or anything like that?
There's a high fee for that sort of carry on. No, they don't. I don't know if they trust me, to be honest with you. But there's we have a good physio in Marty, so I think if they ask me any questions, I just direct them to him.
Fair enough. And one final message to conclude this interview, which I've really enjoyed, but for someone who maybe is umming and ahhing about watching the World Cup this summer, whether that be on TV or getting tickets, what would you say to them to really encourage them to actually pay attention to the tournament?
If you can get to the tournament and watch it live, this will be one of the best netball tournaments that has ever happened. It is going to be the biggest netball tournament ever. So if you can get to it, I would definitely come along. And I think at the very least, watching it on BBC, I mean, it's going to be crazy. I would say there's going to be lots of twists and turns and unexpected results. So yeah, I'm excited about it. And I think everyone else should be too.
I know we at Sportsball certainly are. Thank you very much for that, Niamh. That was a fantastic interview, and we've got more to come after this short break.
Follow Sportsbill Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and on Instagram, or go to our website, sportsbillonline.com.
So welcome back, listeners, to the second part of our Netball World Cup Sports Spill special, where our attention now turns to England, and I'm delighted to say that having spoken to her earlier this year, we are once again joined by the Vitality Red Roses most capped player in Jade Clark. So thanks again for speaking to us, Jade, and it's great to have you back on the show.
Hi, great to be back.
So it's been a few months since we last spoke, and when this programme is going out, there are now 50 days to go until the World Cup. So how are you and the rest of the squad feeling right now heading towards the tournament?
Yeah, it's a really exciting time. Obviously, Super League's now finished, so we can like completely focus on the World Cup. Before that, you kind of compartmentalise things, so you just want to get the job done, but now we can really enjoy what's going on in this country and the hype and the buzz. And it's been brilliant to see the Football World Cup announcement, so just really excited about women's sport in general in this country.
And that's a question I was actually going to ask you. We've seen a lot of cool videos around the women's squad announcements. Can we expect anything similar from England Netball? Is there anything in the pipeline?
I'm not sure yet, but I hope so. That's really raised the game, what football did. So I would personally love a message from David Beckham, who wouldn't. So yeah, fingers crossed for a really good announcement for whoever gets selected.
And you mentioned that you've had to sort of compartmentalise because of the Netball Super League. Have you, as an international squad, been able to spend much time together, or has the preparation solely been on, at the moment, the domestic netball?
Yeah, it's all been about domestic netball, so we've all been with our own clubs, concentrating on winning the league. So yeah, we've all kept in touch on WhatsApp and had different conversations, but yeah, you really focused on your league and putting your best foot forward for selections. And now is the time like you start looking at the footage of other teams and what they're doing. And I've got a teammate in Bongi Masomi who plays for South Africa, so you kind of turn from like being teammates to opposition, and then you're like all looking at what she does and what she does well.
And yeah, you mentioned there about the teammates, but there's also a lot of players who will be featuring at the tournament that play in the Netball Super League, from Scotland, from Northern Ireland especially. Is it an advantage sort of knowing what they're going to bring, or is it sort of a level playing field because they know exactly what you're going to bring as well?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. You always, like, the more you play against people, the more you know them inside out and you know what they're going to do. But like you say, it's the same for them, but I think that just raises standards. The more international players can play against each other in the domestic league, the higher the standard's going to be. And I think we've seen that in Super League this year. Every team has absolutely raised the game. We've got even better imports coming from all over the world, which can only improve our league. And we've seen like really close games, and that just gets you in the right headspace to be prepared for those close games at World Cup.
And we're talking a couple of days before the grand final, which your club Wasps are going for a potential third league victory in a row.
Yeah.
How has this season been for you as an individual and as the club?
As an individual, I think it's really shown me how important it is to be settled and happy, and I spent quite a long time just changing teams and moving all about the world, which has been amazing. I've had amazing experiences, but I'm just really enjoying my time at Wasps, and I'm just getting some consistency, and I think that's really shown in my performance, and just spending time with these players and building connections with other potential England players like Rachel Dunn, like Fran Williams. Yeah, really, really love this season. And just as a team, I think everyone that's putting their hand up for England selections has really played well. And I think, well, I've been on the England team since 2002, and it's never been so competitive to get picked for your country. You just don't know who's going to get picked, and we haven't really had that before, apart from in the last few years. Yeah, it just shows as heartbreaking it is for whether you get selected or whether you don't. It just shows that Netball's going in the right direction in this country.
And you mentioned there how teams have had to step up this season. Has that been the case for you at Wasps as well? Obviously, you're still in with a shout of a third title, but have you really had to step up your game this year?
Yeah, we've really had to dig deep. Last year, we had a really good start, and we had quite a few good score lines, but I've just noticed this year we've had so many more closer games, and it's not just with other teams in the top four, with teams from first to eighth, and yeah, it's been so competitive, and I'm really happy that's prepared all the England girls for that World Cup. And like, yeah, we had a bit of a shaky patch in the middle of the season where we lost two games in a row by one. So it's just really character building, and it's just really interesting how you pick yourself up from those defeats, and you kind of go through a whole series of self doubts and then getting back on top. So yeah, it's been a rollercoaster of emotions, but I've loved it.
You shared a cool video on social media a couple of days ago about the plyometric training you guys have to do. How much time do you spend as netballers on that sort of training?
Yeah, a lot. So we have two or three court sessions a week, sometimes more. But every day I'm doing my own fitness training, and so the same for all the girls at WAFT. We probably don't get as much time as we'd like together at team, so we have to really make the most of it and do as much of that fitness when we're on our own in our own region, so when we come together we can use that real time to spend doing tactics and stuff like that. So I'm really lucky. I've got my S&C coach, England S&C coach in Manchester, and I also have my S&C coach in Bolton, Michael Wheatman, and we do lots of fun stuff, and you know, in pre-season time it's really hard slog, but when it gets to finals you can kind of do the fun stuff like that plyometrics, and you just kind of want to feel good and feel fast. And that's the great thing about netball, is all different types of training you can do. We do weights, we do running, but there's so much jumping about, and you have to think about injury prevention as well, so we do lots of landing work, so all the fun stuff.
I guess that's also quite a big difference then, the level of training and the intensity of training you do now compared to when you first started back in the early noughties.
Yeah, definitely. I think when I first got on the squad when I was 18, it was a bit of a shock to the system. I didn't even know how to squat, so I hadn't really done much training. You know, I thought training was just go out for runs. So yeah, it's been interesting over that time how training has developed, and you kind of learn your own body as well. You know how to push yourself. You know when you push yourself too hard, you know when you need to do more, and what kind of training works for you. So like in my later years, I'm 35 now, I do a lot less running and a lot more weights, and you just kind of learn what works for you and when you need to peak.
It's not just the training that's changed, but the coverage that netball has received both internationally and domestically over the last few years has been incredible. And I guess so many games live on Sky Sports now, and BBC do a lot of coverage and gets a lot of coverage in newspapers. How great is that for you to see people just being able to access netball and being able to see what you guys are doing?
Oh, it's so amazing. I think it's something I really never thought would happen when I was younger. But now I'm just so proud of the sport that we're going to be shown on BBC free to air, like game after game in those latter stages of the World Cup. Sky showing every game. And when I was younger, my role models were athletes like Sally Gunnell and Colin Jackson, because those were people I saw on TV. And now all the little girls will be able to, you know, watch people actually play netball and do the sport that they love. So yeah, it just makes me really excited that we're getting the coverage that the sport deserves, and I know so many people behind the scenes have fought for this, and it's not just about the success of Commonwealth Games that's driven it. It's been hard work, hard slogs, and lots of people fighting for that coverage, and I hope it gets more and more equal over the years.
And you mentioned there the BBC, which is a massive thing, having netball on free-to-air TV. And do you think that people tuning in for the first time are going to be maybe drawn in because of the speed and the rate of, and the rapidity at which netball's played?
Yeah, I think that's the number one thing that people say to me when they first watch the sport. They're so blown away with how fast it is. Because a lot of people haven't seen it since, you know, they saw people play it in primary school. So a lot of men say that to me, that, you know, they haven't seen it in so many years, and how physical it is, how fast. And I think something else that we saw from Commonwealth Games that is that people really connected with the squad as people. People like joined the journey and saw our personalities and just connected with the Roses. So I'm sure, like, with the more coverage, we're going to have our personalities shown across even more, and people feel like they can be on that journey with us, and it's a full team effort.
And in terms of personalities, is that something that you as a squad make a conscious effort to show people what you're like and not just sort of hide behind your words? Or is it it's just something that just happens naturally?
Yeah, I think with our squad, with Amo Braze, our captain, she always encourages us to have fun. She knows how important it is. She knows we play better when we have fun. That's our number one goal in our team. So whatever pressure's happening, whether you're winning or losing, that stays consistent, and we enjoy our time together as a team. And I think, like, naturally that comes across. And I think we've got quite a few youngsters in our team that have taught us all these, you know, just chill out a bit and have lots of fun. So yeah, I think that we really try and make sure it does come across to everyone watching.
And with the increase in coverage and the increased interest around the game, also becomes the potential of extra pressure. Is that something that you guys think about, or is that something you actually relish with?
Yeah, I think it's something we definitely talked about and we'll continue to talk about throughout the competition. Like, the reality is more people are going to be watching than ever before. So you can choose how you think about that. You can see it as a threat or you can see it as an opportunity. So I'm determined to make sure that our team just really see that as an opportunity. This is what we've wanted for so long, is people watching our sport, and we're all show off that heart, and we love as many people watching as possible, and we know that it's not a negative pressure, it's a positive one. Everyone that's tuning in wants us to do well, and, you know, whatever happens, we've got families at home that love us, and, you know, we just need to go out there and enjoy it and do the best for our country.
We all saw the pride that swept the nation after the Men's Football World Cup last summer, and just a few days before your tournament starts will be the conclusion of the Women's Football World Cup, where we're hoping England could do very well. Are you hoping that sort of the national pride sort of bounces off from people who've watched that tournament and then want to continue seeing English success and watch your tournament?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's, like, so much women's sport on this summer. And I don't think it's a case of, you know, you choose one sport or the other. Like, I think people are just going to love watching women's sport in general. And yeah, I was right aboard, so, you know, it's coming home all the last time with guys, so I'm sure that will sweep the nation with the ladies. And I want that momentum to continue into the netball, and we'll be right behind them, supporting them, and I'm sure they'll do the same for us.
A lot of people are likening this summer to London 2012 in terms of the amount of not just women's sport on offer, but the potential level of success women could have as well. Is that something that you guys feel very proud that you have the opportunity to take part in?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that before. Like, London 2012 was such a special time. So if we can get anywhere near that kind of feel in the country, it's just going to be a really exciting summer and something I'll be so loving to be a part of.
And I guess it's probably a little cheeky to ask, given we're still quite away from the tournament yet, but would a home World Cup win triumph that Commonwealth victory, which you last time we spoke said was the greatest moment of your career so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, it is beyond our wildest dreams to get a gold medal, but we know it's even harder to back up and get a double, so I think, it would, and the fact that it's at home would be so, so special. So yeah, I think you kind of don't dare to dream sometimes, like, about getting a double, the gold medal. And my aim was always just to get the one. So yeah, I think it would definitely top it and just be a moment that we'd always treasure forever.
And speaking of that Commonwealth Games, have you managed to have your tattoos done yet, or is that still a work in progress?
I know, we haven't had it done yet. So I'm hoping when the girls come back a couple of weeks before World Cup, we can sort something out in Manchester and keep true to our word.
Fair enough. And to round up, for someone who's maybe listening to this and is umming and ahhing about whether to either buy tickets to the tournament or watch live on TV, what would you say to them to encourage them to support you?
I'd say there's nothing better than seeing a close netball game. Like, the stadium is just electric. There's so much noise and you just kind of, you live in every pass with the team. So if you can, try and experience it live. But I know a lot of people got up at 4 in the morning last year and absolutely loved it. So just tune in, support us, and you might get it.
I don't think they will. Thank you so much, Jade, for another fantastic interview, and great to speak to you again, and all the best.
Awesome. You too. Thanks.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks.
You're listening to Sportspiel, available on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third and final part of our Netball World Cup Sportspiel special, where our attention now turns to Scotland, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Emily Nicol to the podcast. So first of all, Emily, thank you very much for coming on the show, and it's great to speak to you.
Yeah, hi. It's great to speak to you too and get to chat about the exciting event that's coming up for netball this summer.
Certainly is an exciting event. And I'll start with the same question I've asked the other two athletes we've had on so far. We're going to air with just 50 days to go until the World Cup, so it's still a little way to go, but how are you and the squad feeling right now?
Yeah, good. Obviously, it's the pinnacle event for netball, so always exciting and something to look forward to. But with 50 days to go, it's just really important for us to just keep putting in the hard work and just get our training going along. But we've managed to build some really good connections with Sirens playing in the Super League, so we're looking good and excited for the event.
And you mentioned the Sirens in the Super League. The domestic season hasn't long finished. Have you had a chance to have a bit of a rest, or is it straight now into work preparing for this World Cup?
We've kind of been given a couple of weeks just to kind of change our mindset from Sirens back into the national setup, but obviously ticking over, and we've got some fitness testing coming up, which I'm sure we're all looking forward to.
And you mentioned fitness testing there. What else is happening with the squad sort of between now and the World Cup? How do you prepare for a tournament like that?
So obviously the coach will have to make the final selections, and then that will be announced, and then once we kind of know our team, we'll really focus on just solidifying our combinations and making sure that everything's tidied up, and just we'll hopefully get a couple of preparation matches before the competition, so just making sure that we know exactly what to do once we hit that court come July.
And you mentioned playing for Sirens. A lot of the Scottish team do play for that franchise in the Super League. How much of an advantage do you feel that is, whereas other nations have, you know, players spread around at different clubs, where you guys have been sort of together for an entire season and know how each other plays?
Yeah, I think Sirens has been massively beneficial for us Scottish players, because otherwise we'd just be playing in our Scottish Development League, which is not the same level obviously as the English League. So just it means that when we come to play, our connections are already built. We've built really strong foundations over the last year, and every week every Super League team is so strong that it's basically like coming up against the England A side, so it gives us such a good opportunity to come across that challenge on a weekly basis.
And it must be good on a personal level as well to play with some of your best mates week in, week out for club and internationally as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, we spend every day with these girls, and we face the highs together, but we also face the lows together. And obviously, coming from Scotland, we have a lot of travelling to do as well, so we spend a lot of downtime together, and we really are quite a close-knit group, which is really nice.
And you've certainly got the backing of fans as well. I believe the second highest fan base in the league. That must be such a great feeling to step out in front of so many people week in, week out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure everyone says this, but we always feel like our fans are very passionate coming from Scotland. We always have a bit of an underdog mentality, but we just are really ferocious and passionate. And a huge part of being a Thistle is your heart and soul. And that's, our coach always says, as long as we play with everything and make our fans proud, then that's all she can ask for.
And how much of an impact in Scottish hockey has Scottish netball? Sorry, has it been having that team in the highest league? Is that helping to grow the fan base even more?
Yeah, I think massively. We're managing to reach out to not only just Scottish fans now, but we get fans on Twitter commenting to us. And also what's been really good is that it's not just help the players that are actually in the team, but our training partners and our youth squads within the Scottish programme. It's had a massive impact on them, and obviously we've been able to attract some imports over, which has also helped our fan base. So it has just been a really good way to put Scottish Net on the map and show we're not just necessarily there to make up numbers, but we come every week to fight and put up a really good performance.
And in terms of your own skill sets, it must be a massive improvement as well, coming up against, you know, Commonwealth Games winners and some of the best players in the world.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've now been in the sides for 3 years, and I feel like this year I've gone away from just looking for opportunities to play to really managing to get myself some really good court time and start position as goal defence. And I got the opportunity to play against like Mariah Cutts, Severn Stars, and she's South African goal attack, and obviously coming across the English girls as well. That it's really good within the English league. There's also different styles, and these girls are huge role models for all of us, so it's absolutely great to be able to test myself.
And you've played against many of these players domestically, and you've drawn England in your group for the tournament. How did you feel when that came out of the hat?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're pretty prepared to take anyone on, and if anything, obviously playing in the Super League has given us, we play against the English style week in, week out, so we're kind of prepared, and I think everyone loves the Scotland-England battle, so we'll be looking to put our best foot forward.
And what a way to start the tournament as well, with such an exciting game. I guess that must be a really big draw in for the fans as well.
Yeah, I'm sure all the tickets are pretty much sold out, and it's really good for us to play against the host, because obviously they're going to have a huge turnout. But we're kind of taking this World Cup as a home games for us, because all of our friends and family are able to travel down really easily, and we can't wait to have their backing, because that's really what gives us that extra edge, and they're the ones that have put in the hard work to allow us to be where we are today. So it's nice for them to be able to see us, reward them with our efforts.
And just 5 years ago, you did actually have a major netball tournament in Glasgow as part of the Commonwealth Games. How much of a game changer was that for Scottish netball?
Oh, massively. Well, I had never been part of the national setup when at those games, and I was in the crowd watching as a spectator, and was watching the Scotland team. And obviously, from that, I've now got myself into the national team and will hopefully be selected to compete at the World Cup. And so just that, for me, it's had a huge impact. But our participation has increased massively, and we've managed to get not just the performance, the elite level increase in netball, but also there's lots of programmes in Netball Scotland with Bounce Back to Netball, and we've managed to get maybe women who haven't played the sport for years to find love with it again, and that only then helps turn them into more fans to support us. So it really had such a huge impact, and we'll be hoping to take that into after this World Cup as well.
And you mentioned there that you were a spectator in Glasgow at 2014. Just 4 years later, you were then part of the team that went to Australia for the Gold Coast. How did that feel for you?
Oh, it was a very quick whirlwind. I mean, my journey's been a very quick rise. So obviously at the start, it was quite a shock to the system and getting used to everything. But I mean, the girls were more than welcoming, and obviously to be able to make that jump, I had to be determined, and it's been massively rewarding to find yourself all of a sudden playing in the top level that you possibly can, and I just never expected it. And I've been lucky to be able to manage my studies and my law degree, and now working as a trainee solicitor with my netball, so that's been really good as well.
And you mentioned that it was quite a whirlwind for you. Was it not? You didn't take a conventional route into the team then, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So normally the national girls will come through the setup, like from under-17s, under-19s, etc., up to the national squad. But I came in pretty late, so I played at university, and it was at university that the national coaches spotted me, and within 6 months I then had my first cap, and I've never kind of looked back since. So I've learned loads and loads and loads, and then never even expected to play in a Super League team, and then was exposed to that, then got to a Commonwealth Games, and now hopefully a World Cup. So it really has been a really exciting 4 years for me.
Was that made even more special by the fact that you'd actually dreamt of being a professional netballer for so long, and then it took a little while, but you actually did get the chance, and now you've taken the most of it?
Oh yeah, Marceline, I think sometimes you come across young girls that think that maybe if they didn't get selected into the under-17 squad or something, that's the end of the journey for them. And I've done quite a few talks to the youth squads to tell them that there's definitely more than just one route to the national team, and it really did make it something that's really passionate for me. And I'm the girls always call me a netball geek in the team, because I watch all netball, and I know all the Australian stuff, all the netball, New Zealand stuff. So for me, I knew everything about netball and all the athletes before I was part of the team, and now to actually be in it, I sometimes have to still pinch myself that I'm here and I'm in it.
Had you ever thought maybe it's not going to happen, or were you still thinking I just need to perform and someone one day will spot me?
I don't know. I kind of just believed in my own journey, and when a child for the under-21 long squad and wasn't selected for it, and that did have a huge knock on my confidence. But I just went away to university and really focused on just me and making myself the best player that I could be, and realised that I shouldn't really compare myself to other people and just focus on my own journey. And I don't think that perhaps if I'd got in when I trialled initially that I'd maybe be the player that I am today, because it's given me such a huge amount of resilience and determination to show that what I can do.
Of course. And something else you mentioned in there was the fact that you're actually still studying and working alongside being a professional netballer. How do you balance the two?
Yeah, so in September last year, I started my traineeship as a solicitor in a corporate law firm in Edinburgh. So that's obviously hugely demanding, but I mean, both sides, both the work side and the netball side, obviously know my commitments and have been really good to support me. And we also have the Sports Institute of Scotland, and they have lots of staff that also are on board to help us with any scheduling commitments. And I mean, I have the additional challenge of travelling from Edinburgh to Glasgow for training, but so far, so good. I've managed to make it through a Super League season, so I don't see any barriers now, but it's really good to have a career and the sport as well.
I guess it must be quite good in terms of sort of if say you've had a tough day at work, you can then go and play your netball and you can sort of switch off from that and vice versa. That must be quite a nice feeling to have.
Yeah, I think massively. I took a year out between finishing my studies and starting my job, and I sometimes, like, I loved it, but I think maybe this year I kind of get distracted. I, like, when I go to netball, that's like a huge passion now, and I get distracted from any worries that I've had at work, or which is good. And it's really shown me this year how much I do have passion for the sport, because I just can't wait to get to training, and it's just such a good outlet. And you see the girls, and just when you're high-fiving the team ethos and everything going, it just feels really positive environment.
And you spoke about your passion there for netball. I guess one of the main things that people will be trying to get from this summer is to get so many more people passionate about netball. And do you think this World Cup, especially on these shores, could be a massive game changer for the sport and get even more people involved than ever before?
I think massively, and I think just the fact that the event's happening has already had such a huge impact. I mean, the ticket sales have been amazing. They've absolutely flown out the door, and I think with it, it's been really available, and I'm sure the World Cup, they're also putting on all the games on a big screen in Liverpool in a park, and with the fact that Sky and BBC are having such huge coverage that we'll be able to get across to such a huge audience. And I think it's really cool for not only girls but for boys as well to see these athletes, because netballers have become athletes now, on the screen doing what they love and being able to compete at the highest level. And I think it's just a lot of women obviously play netball at school and they forget, and I think when they see us playing and stuff and they can see the team and bonds and everything, they realise that they can also get friendship out of it, and also it's a great way to keep fit.
Is that a stereotype you're really sort of keen to break as well, the fact that netball isn't just a game for school children, but actually you can be a professional athlete and you can be some of the fittest people in the world?
Yeah, I think netball is obviously on the way to do that, but there's obviously still a way to go. But I think what always shocks me is that the first time people come and watch netball, they're always just astounded by how fast it is. And I've had so many like rugby player friends or something come and watch, and they are amazed by it. And I think even more than ever, like, the game, even though it's non-contact, it's becoming really physical, and there's always knocks and things and battles, and we just love pushing it to the max. And I think people are starting to become aware of that and really take the sport seriously, and the more success that the home nations have, the better it is for the public in getting more fans.
And another way of getting more fans is through increased media coverage, and we've already talked on the podcast and you've spoken about Sky and BBC's coverage, but we've also got Telegraph Women's Sport have now started up and are doing great work, and BBC have got their Change the Game summer programme. How exciting is that to, you know, be taking part in a massive women's sport tournament with these two new media campaigns going?
I think it's absolutely huge, because for years I've scrolled through all these websites and look at the sport news, and it always upsets me because it's always just male faces, and I always think, well, what about us? Because I know that there's so many amazing female things, female sports happening in the world. So for a young girl or anyone to look up the news and to see that there's women out there doing this amazing platform, I think it will be hugely inspirational. And because that's why football has been so successful in the past and getting such huge numbers, because they are all so prevalent in the media. So I think that this World Cup will be such a huge benefit, and I can only see the sport really, really growing from here and taking off and increasing participation.
The sport really took off in this country over here in England after the Commonwealth Games, when England, sort of the underdogs, went and did the unthinkable almost. Is that something you're going to be taking inspiration from and want to repeat yourselves? Scotland, the underdogs, going out there and causing some massive upsets this summer.
Oh, yeah, I think massively everyone always loves an upset, but we'll just be looking to go out there and we'll be obviously looking to get a good rank, increase our ranking. And looking for really that to solidify our position in the top eight in the world. I think that we've got a lot of fire and grit, and I genuinely believe on any day that you can take a team. I think that's what's become something that's just happened recently in netball, is that the gap is really closing between all the different nations, and you can't just lie down and think, oh, this is an easy win. Everyone, you've got to fight for every quarter. And I think that England, we obviously out in the Commonwealth Games got to go and watch England win the gold, and that was a hugely inspirational moment for us, knowing that we played against some of these girls in the Super League and also on the international stage. So hopefully we can go out there and do our bit to get media attention and also just really make our fans proud.
And finally, to round off this interview, what message would you give to someone who is unsure as to whether or not to get tickets or watch the game or watch the tournament on TV?
I think it's probably going to be the most exciting, fast, upbeat, passionate event that you'll probably come across this summer, and it's one not to be missed, really.
I don't think we could have put that any better ourselves. Thank you so much for your time, Emily, and we wish you all the very best this summer.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
A massive thank you to Neve, Jade and Emily for taking the time and speaking to us, and we cannot wait to see how they and their teams do at the Netball World Cup this summer. Just a reminder that the tournament is taking place between the 12th to 21st of July. Every single game is live on Sky Sports, while every game from day 4 onwards will be live on the BBC. In terms of Sportsbill, Alistair and I will be back soon with our Women's Football World Cup specials, so make sure you don't go anywhere.